in povertà mia lieta, caro da gran signore. Rivedinni l'amore per sogni eterni venere, e per castelli aria.
Yes, that was Pavarotti, the great Pavarotti, singing Che Gelada Manina from La Boheme. That was the choice of our next guest, Terry Cummins. And Terry was a printer, a company director, a naval officer. He rose to the rank of lieutenant in the Navy, skipper, radio officer. He was chairman of his industry's representative body, chairman of the Irish Printers Association. He opened his own business in Belfast during the height of the Troubles, and the list goes on. The interesting thing about Terry is that he failed his inter, he failed his primary. And for those of you out there that are worried about your kids, after listening to Terry, our next guest, you, I think, will be a bit more relaxed about your kids' exams and their schooling. Good evening, Terry.
How are you, Jim?
Terry, just tell us first, why have you chosen Pavarotti?
Well, I picked La Boheme because it was the very first opera I ever saw in the Gaiety Theatre in 1956. The great English tenor Charles Craig and the famous John Hammond were the two principals in it. It was a beautiful opera. And the reason that I picked Pavarotti singing it was I was privileged to be in the Gaiety in 1962 when another great tenor, Giuseppe Di Stefano, was appearing in Tosca, and he got ill. And the director of the Grand Opera Society, Colonel William O'Kelly, he sent to Italy to see if there were any young tenors over there available quickly. And they got this young tenor over very quickly. It turned out to be Pavarotti. And Pavarotti appeared in 1962 in the Gaiety in Tosca. In Tosca. And it turned out Di Stefano was supposed to go to the Covent Garden in London. And they got Pavarotti to go from Dublin over there. He made his debut over there and became famous, as we know, after that. And that's why Pavarotti threw an open-air concert in Stephen's Green to thank the Irish for giving him his opening.
Wow.
That's it.
Right. Well, Terry, coming back to your own career, you started school in 1947.
Yeah.
Right. And you say you failed your primary and failed your inter. You wanted to join the Navy, I believe. Why?
Well, my mother's side of the family were all British Navy, and my eldest brother Sean had joined the British Navy against my father's wishes and went on to join the Australian Navy. But I suppose you could say that I always had this feeling that I'd love to go into the Navy, but my father said no, that he wanted me to go to... My father was a printer, all my brothers were printers, and he said I had to go and serve my apprenticeship. When I finished my apprenticeship, I could then do what I like. So I started my apprenticeship in 1956 when I was 15. And 3 years later, in 1958, I was old enough to join the Naval Reserve, which at the time was called in Slumeree, but it was the Naval Reserve. So that was my hobby or my pastime.
Terry Dermott here. I can relate to your father stopping you from joining the Navy, because when I left school, I wanted to become a radio officer on a ship. And well, my father didn't actually stop me. He did say to me, "Do you intend to go to sea for long, for the rest of your life?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, what are you going to do when you come back? What trade will you have? What profession will you have?" And that made me stop and think. In hindsight now, you know, when I look back on it, it wasn't so much I wanted to run away to sea. It was run away from home. I just felt, you know, that being the eldest, I wanted to get out. But that was my experience of the sea and not getting there.
Well, I did the radio officers course as well, and I qualified at a first class certificate. And I could have gone to sea as a Merchant Navy radio officer. But again, my father wouldn't let me go until I finished my apprenticeship.
I think he was very wise, because it's always handy to have something as a backup.
Well,
how did you feel?
Well, the opening remarks there was that I was very bad at school. I didn't pass my primary, I didn't pass my intercert. Mm-hmm. And we had to do a apprentice exam. And it was, I honestly didn't think I was going to pass the apprentice exam because that was equivalent to the intercert. But about 5 weeks before the apprentice exam, my father got a very good friend of mine to sit down with me with some old exam papers. And we spent 5 weeks going over all the exam papers.
What did it involve? The exam?
It was Irish, pages. English, arithmetic, the whole lot of it.
Oh, really?
But on the morning that the exam took place,
mm-hmm.
I was very surprised to find that the paper they handed me was the very paper I'd been working on for the previous 5 weeks.
Did you
my
tell
father,
them?
My father was had to get a copy of the papers. So it was the first time I ever passed an exam.
Okay, so you didn't tell
just
them,
barely.
Obviously. Yeah. So you did well in the printing.
Well, yeah, I came out of my apprenticeship in 1963, worked for another 6 years, and then had an accident, cut a finger off, which I was sewn back on again. And while I was out convalescing, I heard that one of the major printing supply companies was looking for a rep. So I applied for the job, and thankfully I got the job, because nobody else had applied for it, apparently. But I got the job, so I was a rep then for 4 years. But then I decided I'd start my own business.
Okay, well, thank you, Terry. Jim here again. We'll take a break. We're coming up towards 7 o'clock. We'll take a break and be back with you after the 7 o'clock headline. Yes, welcome back again to This Is Your Life with Dermot, Antoinette and myself standing in tonight, Jim. Our guest tonight is Terry Cummins, who we said earlier was a young non-event a student in school and who climbed to the heights in his own profession, both in the Navy and in his printing business. Terry, welcome back. Let's go back, if I may. In 1958, the sea drew you back again after you had started in the printing industry, and you decided you were going to take up some studies in relation to the sea. Tell us from there, please.
Well, again, Jim, at 17 years of age, I found out that there was a naval reserve in Calbrough Barracks in Dublin, and that they trained on a Monday night and a Tuesday night and every weekend in Dunleary. And I went up to see what it was all about, and I joined. Glad to say I joined, because it's a terrific life, whether it's the Reserve Army or the Reserve Navy. It's a terrific life, yeah, for any 17-year-old lads. And I'd like to get a point across here that one night when we were sailing up to the Isle of Man, and one young lad was standing beside me, and we were just yapping away, and I said, "Do you like being in the Reserve Navy?" And he said, "I love it." And he said, "You know, Terry," he said, "if I hadn't joined the Reserve Navy," he said, "I'd either be in prison, yeah, or I'd be on drugs, because all my friends," he said, "two of them are in prison," and he said, "the others are all junkies." And he said, "You know, that was the company I was in, but the Navy, the Reserve Navy, and the training that we do kept me away from all that."
Yeah, right. Yeah, kept him focused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had an interest at the same time, Terry, of radio.
Mm-hmm.
So you decided to do, what was it, the Marconi?
Well, when I joined the Reserve Navy, I went into signals. And we were sort of looking at, I was very, very keen on radio. So I went to the Marconi Company in Harcourt Street, and I did 3 years night school, 3 hours a night, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. And at the end of the 3 years, I qualified as a Marconi radio officer. And I could have gone to sea as a radio officer. But again, I hadn't finished my apprenticeship. So that put pay to that, because I met my wife, and it got to a situation that if you go to sea, you leave her after you. But no.
Well, surely when your wife, obviously you were a courting couple in those, mm-hmm, days, and you were out, what, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night?
And a lot of weekends. Most weekends.
What was her reaction? How did she cope with that? Or how did you cope with that?
Well, she had to live with it, hadn't she? And we're married 45 years now, so she put up with it until 1996. I was away nearly every second weekend, going away on Thursday, coming back late Sunday night, going away for 3, maybe 4 weeks in the summer, continuously, as a skipper of the sail training vessel. She just lived with it, and we had four children, so, I mean, she was preoccupied with, right, rearing our family.
And you said that you used to park your car somewhere close to the college, didn't you?
Yeah, I know what you're coming at, Jim.
And just so you had a certain encounter with the Gardaí. Tell us about that one.
I had a little bit of an accident on a Sunday night in my car up in Moore Street. And when I got home that night, my mother said to me, two detectives had come to the door and they wanted me down in Store Street the next morning at 10 o'clock. So I arrived down with a colleague of mine in the printing industry, and the detectives came out and told him to go away, and he said, well, I'll wait on Terry. And they said, you'll be waiting a long time, we're going to keep him in.